To this morning invite you over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 12 reads this way. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, once again asking for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, to hear from you and to worship you in truth and in spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would empower our lives to be the testimony you've called us to be. And then, Lord, we also ask you as the Lord of the harvest that you might send forth more laborers into your fields, that we might see souls saved, baptized, and discipled for your honor and glory. We ask your blessings this morning. We thank you for your presence. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is found there in verse 12, and that is that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. There are things that God wants you and I to possess freely. We don't have to do anything for it. It's already been given to us because of the eternal life that we have received. If we've received the eternal life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we become his child, and we are, the Bible says, we are born again, born brand new, born spiritually this time, and in a way that we understand and we recognize the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Bible teaches that man has a spirit, lowercase s. Man has a spirit, and you and I can read that spirit, can we not? We can read that spirit. How do you know that? Well, when the countenance is fallen, you know that that person is not happy, right? Vice versa, also, when there's a cheery countenance, we know that they're happy. And then as we get a little bit closer into our relationships with one another, we can pick up things that we don't, that the average person would not see. We can tell a smile that's just been planted there because it's supposed to be there, but there's something wrong. Parents can tell that with their children. Moms can tell that, I think, even to a greater degree with the children. There are sometimes things that I'll overlook. My wife mentioned at different times something about her parents, and I overlooked it. I said, no, I did not notice that. And I sometimes can take things, we can take things and miss things, but yet there's a spirit in man that we can pick up the spirit of other men. Likewise, there's also a spirit of God that only the child of God, if they're seeking that, will also read things and understand God's direction and what God is trying to give to his children. So in this text here, we want to consider some things that, and that is, first of all, that God has a process for us to understand if we are to know and possess all the things that God has given to us on this side of heaven. Do you know that? God has given the believer things to enjoy on this side of eternity, even when the world is turned upside down. We know that Paul wrote what we call the prison epistles. He was in jail writing and encouraging believers even when things were difficult in his life. God wants us to understand those things that he's given to us, that even when there is no hope in the world, that the believer, the child of God, still has hope in his God. And so the Apostle Paul here is dealing, by the way, I want you to understand this as we look at 1 Corinthians, Paul is dealing with a carnal group of believers, but believers nonetheless. Let me say that again. Paul is dealing with a carnal, a earthly-minded group of believers that have missed some things, but they're still believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's writing to them to encourage them by the Spirit of God, moved by the Holy Spirit, canonized in the scriptures for us here, to encourage these believers to wake up and see what God is trying to say and not lean to their own understanding or what they think, but to look to the Spirit of God that is leading them in a different path than where they were headed. And by the way, as believers, when we seek the Lord, as believers, we need to understand this. First of all, don't think too little of yourselves. In other words, don't think yourself unworthy, because the reason why you and I are worthy is because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness that has been given to us. You and I have the right at any time to approach the throne of God. Isn't that amazing? You have been given that by the grace of God. Now, you might say, well, sometimes maybe I feel like I've drifted and I've allowed things into my life that has separated me. You have the right to petition God for forgiveness. And he has promised to forgive you and I. And so that's important as we consider our text this morning. So these are believers that, and by the way, not only not to think too little of ourselves, but there's a balance, isn't there, when we approach the Lord. Don't think too highly. Sometimes we think so highly we don't need God. We forget about God. Let me give you a little test. When was the last time you asked God to fulfill his will in your life this day? Not Sunday, today. That's a good thing if you did it today. But throughout the week, how many times do you ask the Lord every day to fulfill his will? Because if you're not thinking about those things and looking into those things, they're not going to happen. They're not going to happen. And so it's important. So here we find carnal Corinthian believers that still have the opportunity to receive all the things that God intended them to have. Did you follow that? that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Here are carnal believers. At this time, I'm telling you, they're thinking more of themselves than what they ought to think. They were high and mighty. And God, listen, if we approach the Lord, it must be in humility. We cannot approach the Lord in our own confidence. That's pride. And God says that's one of the seven things that he detests. He hates them. He hates them. And even if they're in us, as much as he loves us, we can't approach the Lord in pride. We must be in humility as we approach the Lord. So Paul is going to go back to the beginning with these believers here, to the place where everything can be placed in its proper order concerning their faith and their relationship with the Lord. Sometimes we have to go back to Bethel, amen, and set things right and get things in the right perspective that we might be able to receive and to know all the things that are freely given to us of God. Not that we give to ourselves, not that the world gives us, but those things that God has paid for and given us a relationship with him as his children, that we might also receive all the things that he wants us to possess on this side of eternity. So we're going to look at four thoughts this morning. We're going to look at called to be saints. That's where it all begins. That's children of God. Sometimes people misunderstand that, and they think a saint is somebody to be worshipped. You will never find that in the Word of God. A saint is simply a believer that God has sanctified. That's it. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, when you realize that your sins have separated you, you don't hear that too much today, do you? Sins, oh no, just come on. We'll take you as you are and listen, you just serve God just like you are. In fact, we're gonna go ahead and redecorate so that we can just have the world come in. Does that sound like a good idea? Let's go ahead and paint the ceiling black, and let's set up a bunch of psychedelic colors up here, and let's place a movie for you part of the time. And I'm not saying illustrations are poor or bad or wrong, but I think when we go to appease the world, we have forgotten about somebody, and that is, what does God want? What is God asking of me? And the Bible says that he came into the world to take us out of the world. Not that we should settle for failure or what the world condones. And listen, I'm wanting us to understand, God is wanting us to understand what he wants to do with us. And it's not the same thing that the world wants to do with us. There's a contrast there. But if we're not careful, we have fallen asleep and we can be entertained and wooed by the world to sleep. Where all we begin to look for are these little things. Listen, I was amazed to find out, and I'm not against cell phones, but cell phones, they say that there's a chemical connection. People just get onto those phones. It's amazing. Sometimes it seems like, And I'm guilty of it too. So I'm not trying to just. I have one, and unfortunately, we're in the world that we have to have one. But they release endorphins. They say it is a similar experience connection in the brain as an addiction to cocaine. That's why people go to it, and they're just looking for I don't know what. We do these things, but we need to be careful that that's not what's controlling us. We're in the world, but we're not of it. Be careful that you don't get taken by those things. And by the way, the computer, all these things. Can you imagine, how would your life be if you didn't use the computer and you didn't look at the cell phone for 1 week? 1 week. I'll be the first one to tell you, I feel like I've left something really important. And don't feel properly clad if I leave my cell phone behind. I feel like I've got to go back and go get it. And yet there was a time, believe it or not, this is an amazing thought. There was a time where we functioned without those things. I'm not saying those things are wrong. Here's what I'm saying. Be careful that those things don't take a hold on you. They can be used for good things. They could be used for bad things. So here it is. Ready? Called to be saints. A spiritual correction is a second thought. Human wisdom versus God's wisdom. That's important. And then God's choice. God's choice. And so this morning, do we need the things that God has freely given to us? That's where we need to start. Do we need those things in our lives? So back up with me and let's look at verse 1 here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We need to go back to verse 1, chapter 1. And I want you to see that we're called to be saints. Look at verse 1. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Listen, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That is a work that is taking place, but I want you to know, if you can go back to a time or a place where you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a child of God, and it is God's will that we are sanctified or set apart and made different by His grace and power. How does He sanctify us? Well, He gives us an experience with Him where we sense His presence that we don't want to disturb that. We are enjoying that fellowship. Well, what's that like? Well, that was like when David slew the giant. Wait, let's go back a little bit further. That was just like when God delivered into David's hands the lion and the bear. He was enjoying that. And so what happened was David goes down to the battle, doesn't know there's a battle. His father sent them. We just looked at that a couple of weeks ago. God sent them to check on his brothers, to make sure that they had some food and to pay their tribute money. Well, he gets down there and he hears this giant. And I'm telling you, somewhere right around when he heard the giant, God said, "You're the one." He saw all of the army of Israel hiding in the trenches. And God said to him, "I'm going to deliver today this giant into your hands, and you're going to slay him." He had no problem with it. Nobody was saying that I'm going to go fight this giant but David. And so when they told Saul that there's a fella out here, I wonder how they said it. They're all shaking in the trenches. And there's this young fella, probably 17 years old. I think the fellow that ran the errand may have said, conjecture on my part, "There's a man out here," because we're all shaking in the trenches. "There's a man out here that's willing to go out. Man, he must be a man, because he's going to go out and fight this giant that I'm not willing to fight." So maybe he said, "There's a man. Send him on my way." Saul gets a look at him and starts saying, "You can't go. You're just a youth." I think that was a surprise to him. And then David began to tell him how God had delivered him. And David experienced a revelation from God and then the promise fulfilled by the Lord. Do you think David, spiritually speaking, was on top side? And then I want to remind you that God had delivered David more than once out of the hand of Saul when he was pursuing him to kill him. And do you not think that, "Thank you, God, I know you have delivered me." But if we are not careful, we can grow weary of the battle and well-doing. We can grow weary. And so we are called to be saints there in verse 2. We are to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to have peace. Notice this, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you," how? "By Jesus Christ." Now listen, I want to remind you, let me ask it like this. Are these Corinthian believers walking in the grace of God, or were they walking in the natural realm? They're being corrected by Paul. He's reminding them how they all got started. We've got to go back to the beginning. Do you remember your salvation? You may not know the time, the date, or the hour, but you can. There's a time and a place in your life where you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and you know that He's forgiven you of your sins and has brought you, you've been born again and placed into the family of God, into the lineage of God. Even as, notice verse 6, In fact, look at verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by him. So he says, I'm thanking my God always on your behalf in verse 4, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him. In everything you are enriched by him, not if we're not seeking him. Listen, they were not walking spiritually, they were walking carnally, and they had missed the Lord. And he's reminding them that you have the capability of being enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Not only that, even as a testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, you got saved. You have that testimony so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Did you see that? God is wanting to confirm your salvation. So how did it go for David? Well, David slew the lion and the bear. David slew the giant. And then what happened? He was brought into the house of Saul and he was promised the daughter. Saul had promised him his firstborn daughter. Did Saul fulfill that promise? No, he didn't. He gave the one he was supposed to give to somebody else. In fact, David said, it's too big of a thing for you to give me your daughter. I don't even have any money. He says, you just kill 100 Philistines and we'll take that as payment. The Bible tells us that Saul made that plan because he was hoping David would die at the hands of the Philistines. And he, you see that? That's how the world works. I'll do this, but I've got an ulterior, I have a deceptive, I have a plan to bring harm and to do ill will against the name of God. But I'm going to disguise it. I'm not going to be honest and upfront. You know, it is. There's a problem in the life of us believers to excuse ourselves from the will of God because of our strength and we're too weak and not look to the strength. We're not being honest with God when God is saying, I'll do it for you. You just need to ask me for it. And there's a lot at stake. What's at stake? Souls are at stake. Beginning with the influence that God gives us to our own family. Now, I want you to know that I am not sharing this with you as somebody who has conquered this, but as somebody who is seeing God doing a work that he wants to do in all of our lives. Did God want to do a work in the life of Peter? He did, didn't he? Now, let's give Peter credit where credit is due. God got into his boat and said, now, I know you're tired. I know you fished all night. I know you didn't catch anything fishing all night, but I want you to cast out into the deep. Let's give Peter credit for casting out into the deep. Then the Lord says, now let down all your nets. Let your nets down for a big draft of fishes, a big haul. And Peter says, Lord, listen, let me just tell you. When we start saying, Lord, now you don't understand, I think we're on the wrong side, don't you? Now, Lord, you don't know what's going on in my life, really. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've been doing here. I know you just got in my boat today, tonight, but you don't really know everything that's going on in my life. And God says, here's what I want you to do. And he him-hawed around, and he, you know what, listen, Peter half-heartedly, I'll give him that much, threw one net. Because here's what he thought, that net's going to get dirty, and I'm going to have to clean it, and I'm not going to get any fish. And God gave him such a great haul of fish that the net began to break. And the boats, because he called for his partners, the boats began to sink. And as soon as they came to shore, God did this now. Peter went to the Lord, fell down on his knees and said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. God brought that around to his thinking. Did God know where Peter was the whole time? Did God give him, and wait, did that mean from that moment on, Peter had no more failures? But did he learn something that night? Did he learn a life-changing lesson? Did he put his foot in his mouth after that night? He did, didn't he? He did. But may I tell you this? Every lesson in Peter's life was a necessary lesson in order to bring him to the place that God wanted him to walk in. You and I have lessons that are necessary in our everyday lives that are necessary to bring us to where God wants us. To where we will not lean to our own understanding, but that we will not compromise with what we think, but with what God has said. Because we're all capable of doing that. David, a man after God's own heart. I hope we don't look to this as an excuse for us. Failed the Lord greatly and committed murder. And God was merciful to him. I wouldn't tempt the Lord in that kind of a situation. I don't think that'd be a wise thing to do. I don't know why. I'm glad that God is God. And he was merciful and spared his life. And David did get back on track. But he failed again in life. Not miserably, but he numbered the people. And the Bible relayed that as being prideful. He was, why? Because he was looking to what he could do instead of what God has promised to do. Do you know, I wonder how many times in life we're just looking to what we can do or what we can't do. We think, listen, little of ourselves and not a whole lot about the Lord when we deal with things in our own lives and say, I can't do that. Well, God's not asking us to do it. God is asking us to ask him to do it for us. How many times did Peter have to get hit over the head with the word of God until he understood what God wanted? Many times. Humanity has a stubborn nature. Even the sweetest of people that are also, yes, sir, have a stubborn nature. Because that all that gentle, soft stuff doesn't hide a single thing before the Lord. And that could also be stubbornness because, oh, I just couldn't say that or do that when we're supposed to. That's our nature. And God says, you need to yield that to me and bring it to me that I might deal with it. See, Peter wanted God's will. He was hurt. And there's a lot of hurting that goes through. Listen, I'll remind you, the Lord asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they began to say some of the prophets, and they named them. But who do you say that I am? That's important. Right. And Peter chimed in and said, thou art the Son of God. And the Lord said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven revealed it. And how long was it before the Lord began to tell them right after that how he had to go to the cross. And Peter took the Lord and said, that shall never be. And the Lord told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. I believe Peter wanted the will of God, but there's this process of dying to self that God has to bring us through. Or we will miss it. Listen, this whole church was going through it. Let's not pretend with our infirmities. Let's bring them to the Lord and say, God, deal with this that I might have all the things that are freely given to me from you. Let me not be a hindrance in your will for my life. We have all these plans, but how much of it on the daily basis involves God's work in us? There's coming a day, and tell me I'm wrong in this, if you want, where everything in this world will not matter one bit. Are you aware that this earth, there's going to be a new one, but this earth that we stand on today is going to be destroyed? Not one thing. All these people, and I'm not against people making achievements and attainments, but all those things that are left for memorials will be burnt up. And the only thing that will matter will be our Savior as we look to him. All these memorials that are made, and I'm not saying they're wrong, they're not wrong. But we need to be reminded that this world is very temporal, very temporary. Notice what happens here. He says in verse 9, God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's telling this to the believers at Corinth. Now he's going to give them a spiritual correction. He first of all revealed their call to be saints of God and what God had given to them. And he put them in the place of right understanding that because of the grace of God, you have been made children of God and inheritors of all the blessings that God has planned for your life. That's a good place to be. But he says, now wait a minute, in all Christian love, I've got a bone to pick with you because you guys are interfering with God's work. So here's the spiritual correction in verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren. Now look at that. Listen, how's he approaching them? I'm pleading with you. The word beseech has the idea of begging. I can't talk a single soul into trusting the Lord as their Savior. I cannot do a single thing but preach the Word of God, and God must do the work. So you can just let it go in one ear and out the other if you want to. That's your choice. But I am obligated by the calling of God to present unto you and I the truth, that we might know it on this side, that you might never say, Brother George, you never told me. As we stand before the very presence of God, as one who's either rejected the Son of God, or one who's received and rejected the will of God, tears will flow. Tears will flow. So he says, verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's because of what God has given to you. That ought to move our hearts. Because of the price God paid, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, and there were, but that ye be perfectly joined together, and there were divisions in the same mind and in the same judgment, that you might be working through the Word of God. This is the spiritual correction, verse 11. For it hath been declared, you know, when you make a declaration, that's a pretty strong thing. Things have been going on, and now he says, this declaration has come to me because of great concern. For it hath been declared, verse 11, unto me of you, my brethren. Listen, do you get that? Do you see what Paul is saying? You are my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, Paul is addressing a serious matter because it is interfering with God's will in their life. And Paul knows of all people that the reality of eternity is at hand. And listen, all these believers of the Corinthian church are now in the presence of the Lord. All these believers, listen to this, have been in the presence of the Lord longer than they've been alive here on earth. What do you think is also important in their lives today? Not what they did for a measly 80 or 100 years, but for what's been taking place now for over 2,000 years. There's coming a time, listen, when eternity is going to ring so true that the things of this life will seem, I don't even know if we'll even think of those things. Listen, unless maybe that's part of the wiping away of the tears, but may it not come to that. I think it has to do more with the lost and those who've been condemned. But may we not have any regrets as we look into our Savior's face throughout all eternity with bad choices and missed opportunities that God has given to us. So he says, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Chloe. I don't know if it's a he or a she. Is that family in trouble with the other believers? Are they in trouble with the other believers? Chloe did the right thing. The house of Chloe said to Paul, there's contentions, there's a problem. Chloe's household did the right thing. Because it brought to attention Paul's opportunity to redirect them, to bring them back. See, sometimes, listen, today, if we were having a problem at Northwood Baptist Church, and I praise God that we have a good fellowship, But if an evangelist came and we were having troubles and I told that evangelist that problem and he addressed those problems, everybody'd probably be looking at the preacher saying, I know where that came from. Well, listen, there's no... And especially if the evangelist said, now, your preacher told me this. Well, that's what Paul just said. Chloe's household told me this. This was real. This was the history. And they probably, I don't know how they feel about Chloe right now. Her household, mixed emotions, no doubt. I wish they didn't do that, but I hope some good comes out of it. Verse 12, now this I say that every one of you saith, listen, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I have of Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? You're saying you're of this group, you're of that group. We only really listen to these people. And then you have the super spiritual, we just listen to Christ. Well, did they misunderstand about the preaching of the Word of God? How that we're all, did they misunderstand something that the Lord said? And did they miss something that the Spirit of Christ says? And so he says, is Christ divided? I don't understand this. Verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Because that's how you're living. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Your allegiance is wrong. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. Did you get that, what Paul was saying? I baptize thee, my brother, in my name for my work and my sacrifice. That you ought to find that a little bit blasphemous. Would you not find that a little bit blasphemous? But that's how this church was living because of what they were saying and doing. I only listen to this preacher. I only look at this commentary. I only do this. I only do that. The personal pronoun ought to give it away. He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. In verse 15, verse 16, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. That might be a little insulting if he did, wouldn't it? You forgot you baptized me. Well, that's not what's important. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And here we go. Ready? Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. May I tell you something? Listen. Be careful about who you say you like to hear. Let me tell you the problem with that. You've missed the Spirit of Christ. You've missed the Spirit of Christ. You can listen to a monotone preacher that is opening up the Word of God, and you can hear the Spirit of Christ because he's preaching the Word. Don't listen, be careful about being entertained by the preacher because you're missing the purpose that God had called concerning his word in our lives. When the word of God is opened, do you know, listen, the Spirit of God is released to hear from him in your life, in my life. You can hear that. See, that's what it means to be spiritually minded. But if we start, 5, 7 on his performance. Oh, that was tens all the way across the board. Don't tell the speaker that. They don't need to hear it. You can tell them the word of God has blessed me. That's a good thing. Because I want you to know that we're all natural. We are all natural. And I don't think nobody's done that here. But if we're not, this is what was going on right here. So those that were of Apollos, as soon as Cephas came up, do you think you needed to see what their scorecard was? Oh my goodness. Where's Apollos? That is a revelation of their carnality. Not being able to hear. That's what God, Paul is saying. Is Christ divided? Are you missing the word of God? Are you just looking to the superficial and missing? Listen, that is an indicator of the direction of our life. If we are missing the simplicity of the Word of God, listen, the person who led you to the Lord, if you can remember them, do you think they were a dynamic speaker? Or they just were used by God? The fellow that led me to the Lord had no dealings in ministry at all. None. And he even had some things confused. But he knew enough of the gospel that the Lord used in my life to convict me of my sin. He knew enough of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that helped me to see my need of eternal life. That's all he knew. He thought poor Pilate was one of the disciples. He really did. After I'd gotten saved, 3 weeks we were having this discussion, and I went home. I didn't know enough of the scriptures, and Pilate, I see him as the governor, but I don't see him amongst the 12. You know, I didn't say anything to him. I didn't want to hurt his feelings or embarrass him. I think that would have been embarrassing. To be quite sure, I'm not, because it's been so many years ago, I might have said, I'm a little confused, maybe I didn't see it. I don't know. But you know what? I didn't hold up a scorecard on him when he was opening up the Word of God to show me my need of eternal life. I am eternally grateful for his willingness and his, you know what that tells us? You don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect. We can even get some things wrong about the Bible and still be able to proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God use it to give other people eternal life. Very quickly. Here's the spiritual condition. And then look at verse 18. The concern here for human wisdom versus God's wisdom. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is what? It is the power. Was Apollos the power of God? Was Cephas, was Paul the power of God? The power of God was on them and in them. But it was because of the Word of God. And so he says here, verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? That's how would you say, a religious person? Where is the disputer of this world? Listen what God has done. Made foolish the wisdom of this world. Listen to what God has done. You cannot come to me in the wisdom of this world with your intellect. Can't do it. You might think you can, but God says, I've done away with that. The only one you're going to impress is your own self. The only attention you're going to get is from you and yourself, and you're not going to get God. You're going to admit, that's what it's saying. Verse 20 at the bottom, hath not God made, notice, foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, listen, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. By what's going on right now, right here, today, at this moment. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Listen, unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. They were looking for wisdom, philosophy. But unto them which are called, to those who understand salvation, both Jews and Greeks, listen, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. What's required for me to say, God, I'm not coming to you in any of my strength, but simply just asking you to reveal to me what you have given to me as your child. Listen, read the Word of God. He says, does the Bible say, be holy because I'm holy? Are we holy? Do we need God's help in that? A little bit? A lot. In fact, all of it, God. You take all of it because I can't be holy on myself. So listen, and we're done. Here's how it works. Ready? If anything good comes from this word today, glory be to God. If anything comes of it that's a failure, I take all responsibility. Because I know what, spiritually speaking, in my own strength is nothing. Not something, not a little, nothing. Nothing. Everything in Christ, or it's to no avail. That has to be our approach in our relationship with the Lord. Don't do the little religious thing, because that's what the Pharisees did when they rejected the Lord. Oh, they were committed heavily to their extra laws that they had penned down and crucified the Savior. If it happened to God's chosen people, can it happen to us? We're His chosen people as well. We've been engrafted. But where does the breakdown take place? Look at God's choice very quickly. Look at verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Listen, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen, not a church, not an association. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen. That's God's choice. The things that are despised. And the reason why they're despised is because of one word, pride. I don't know that we really see, just when you think you've understood pride, you see it again. And the base things, verse 28, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. Did you see? Listen, in Christ all these things take place if we have Christ. We don't ask for these things individually. I need wisdom. I need righteousness. No, the truth is we need Christ, and then you get it all. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. When we start glorying about God and not our wisdom, this church had it wrong, didn't they? They were looking at all these individual people, and Paul was redirecting them to, hey, listen, you've got it all wrong. You are children of God with no power. Not God's power, your own maybe, but that does zilch. That's nothing, amen, for the glory of God. Now, God says today that we can know all the things that are freely given to us of the Lord. I'm convinced this message is for this church today, for our church, because the Lord's return is nearer than ever before. Nearer than any before. And listen, may we be moved to say, God, help me to see me as you see me and to surrender my will for yours. How will that happen? It has to be a work of God. We have to be willing, first of all, to say this. Ready? I'm wrong. When I compromise the things of God, I miss God. When I excuse, we harden our hearts. When we put other things before the Lord, and that's easily done today, more readily available, and I think that's a ploy of the devil, don't you? I'm not saying not to function in life. I'm just saying to go before the Lord and ask yourself, what are your priorities? You and God. You ask me, here's what I want to believe, and here's what I do believe. You all are seeking the Lord, but only you know that. You think I'm seeking the Lord, and I'll tell you I am, because I want to experience Him, but you don't know my moment-by-moment struggles and walk with the Lord. But I will tell you this, He is faithful. Here's one thing that's for sure that I will tell you, I don't want to fail God by relying on my own strength. And I will tell you, He is able to deliver you. I can look at my life and I can see things that He has taken out and drawn me closer with. So I will tell you, as David, I see things in my life. Am I perfect? Not by any means. But praise God, I am growing in His grace. Now, I am not the judge of that, just as you are not the judge of that, but God is. Amen. So here's the question. Are you growing in the grace of God? If not, why? It's not God's fault. Maybe we're too busy. Maybe we've got too many of our own plans. We're filled up. God says, I want to give you something. Wait a minute, Lord. What do I put down? I'll get back with you on that. Are you mad at us, Brother George, today? You tell me. Do you think I'm mad at you? Was Paul mad at them? I want everyone to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want everybody to hear that. I want to hear that. Listen, I hope you, if Paul said, I run this race, not like I've attained it. I'm pressing toward that mark. That's a good indicator. I am not quitting. I am drawing. I am wanting to see God do more in my life. But here it is. Do you want that? I can't want that for you. Do you want that? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's God's invitation. It's your choice. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word and for the working of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I know it's only you that can work on hearts. And I pray and plead and ask you, oh God, do a work in each and every one of our hearts that have heard your word today. Bless the invitation. May you be honored and glorified. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.